Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Last week, Blazing 5 went 3-2. So I'm 33-2 on the season. RJ Bell at pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio is around the corner. But first, my Blazing 5.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing 5. Titans at Jaguars.
I'm going to take the Titans -7.5. I know there's a hook there, and bettors tend to not like the hooks, but I'm going to swallow it here. I think we have a rout on our hands. Tennessee is a very good team that was humiliated at home last week. You know my rule. Bet them the following week. They did outscore Cleveland 38-3 in the second half. Their offense, though lacking what appears to be firepower, is top five in the NFL in yards per play. That's a huge Vegas stat. The Jags' defense is awful. Worst in the league. They've not held an opponent under 24 points at week one. Huge coaching advantage, Tennessee. I like this as my route of the weekend. Titans bounce back 36-23. What are the Jags playing for at this point? I don't know.
Chiefs at Dolphins.
I'm going to take the Finns, Miami +7. This game feels like all Miami games, kind of close and ugly. We talk a lot about offense, but Kansas City's defense is clearly the second best defense in this game. The data tells you it is slipping. Dolphins defense is first in the league on third down. Translation, we'll get Patrick Mahomes off the field. They did that with Russell Wilson. Kansas City's defense is the sixth worst rushing defense, and in the last month it's gotten worse. The Chiefs have not won by more than 6 points in any of their last four games. What I think you have here, you have a Miami offense that can run it, doesn't turn it over, excellent defense at home, and a Kansas City offense that sort of lacks a certain urgency. I think they'll win, but Miami games look the same every weekend. They are the best bet in the NFL. 9-3 against the spread this year, the Dolphins. That's the best in the NFL, and I like them here. Chiefs win, Dolphins cover.
Cardinals at Giants.
Okay, this is the game you should bet the least on. I like the Giants +2.5, but the reason I'm worried is everybody likes the Giants this week. You walk into a bar, hey, who are you guys betting, Giants or Cardinals? Everybody says Giants. I think they have a coaching edge. I think they're at home. I think they are better than their record, and I like their defensive line, offensive line matchup here. But I am concerned that they just came off their biggest win in several years, and the world now loves the Giants. But what concerns me more for Arizona, Kyler Murray, last three games, is struggling. Their defense has allowed over 30 in three of the last four games. They've lost 4 of 5 and are a Hail Mary from being 0 for their last five. And although I think Cliff Kingsbury did a very good job, brought some new things to the table during the offseason. So in September and October early, we all kind of fell in love with Arizona. They have not shown a second gear. The Giants are just getting better every week, and I feel like Arizona is getting a little worse. I'm going to take the Giants to win, but close, though. The weather's like 58 and sunny. It's not a weather advantage. 27-24 New York Giants.
Steelers at Bills.
Been saying it all week. I'll take Buffalo and swallow 2 points. Bills -2. First of all, they're a Hail Mary pass away from being 6-0 in their last six games, and they outplayed Arizona. The Steelers, as I talked about earlier today, are becoming so Ben reliant, it's comical. They don't even attempt to run the football. I think Buffalo, and I was told this early in the season, and I didn't buy it. Josh Allen, outside of Mahomes, maybe the second best young quarterback in this league, and he is getting better. He is getting better. The Steelers, as an offense, are getting worse. Buffalo at home, they have the most fourth quarter takeaways in the NFL, and why is this significant? They don't have a great defense, but it is situationally fantastic. What does that mean? Really well-coached football team. They may not have their offensive coordinator in a month. Brian Daboll is going to get a head coaching job. This staff between Daboll and Sean McDermott is unbelievable. Their GM just got an extension. It's a brain trust in Buffalo, and I like him to win and beat Pittsburgh by a touchdown, 28-21.
Ravens at Browns.
Like it. I love it. I'll take Cleveland. Teams are different. Some get hurt, some get healthy, some don't have an identity, some do. Cleveland has found their identity. This is the two best running offenses in the NFL, but the Browns have only allowed 6 sacks since week 7. This is the best offensive line in the league, and the coaches have figured it out. If you go to week 7, the Ravens since then have a minus 6 sack differential, Browns plus 10. Turnover differential, Ravens minus 3, Browns plus 3. The Ravens have lost 4 of 6 games. I struggle with their offensive identity. Do they want Lamar to run? Do they not? Let's not get him hurt, but we need him. Cleveland is at home. They're getting points. They are the better football team. I said last week they matched up very well with Tennessee. I didn't know if they had the oomph, the gravitas in them to win. They did. I do worry a little bit about their maturity of winning back-to-back games, Monday Night Football, Baker spotlight. Will he go a little cray and think he's... I worry about that. Cleveland's the better football team. They've been the better football team since week 7. They have the better identity. They have the better offensive line. I'm going to take Cleveland. Biggest win in how many years? 28, 26. I think they're the better team. I think it'll be close. It's a divisional game. It's a divisional rivalry. These games are all, you know the personnel. You're not fooling anybody. I like Cleveland here. In fact, it's, I bet some money on it. I'm not going to lie. All right, here we go. Straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio every day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 Eastern. Pregame.com. His Twitter handle, at RJ in Vegas. Can you imagine 15 years ago if I said, hey, this guy's Twitter handle is, and you'd think, the hell is that? Well, at RJ in Vegas. All right, let's start with this. I have a theory. Good teams get humiliated. They always bounce back. The Titans at home sort of got humiliated by Cleveland. And this actually is a robust offense. They're actually top 5 in yards per play. The Jags defense, worst total defense in the league. Titans, I know it's 7.5, but this is my blowout of the weekend. I'm going to take the Titans. What do the wise guys think?
Surprisingly, agreement here. If you look at the look-ahead line, so this was before last weekend's games, the line in this game was 9.5. So there has been an adjustment, you know, upgrading the Jags in a way because they've been playing pretty decently for them and downgrading the Titans. So to me, the adjustment's been made, and you said it, motivation. And there's a trend we talk about probably twice a year, which is road favorites who are off a bye do outstanding. Now, you might say, RJ, there's not a bye here, but what does a bye represent, which is focus, motivation, and they do outstanding. So to me, whenever you have a big favorite that you know their motivation is going to be there, it's probably a pretty good bet. Mike Glennon's playing pretty decent, but I agree with you on the Titans.
I'm going to take the Dolphins plus 7 hosting Kansas City. Number one, the Dolphins have been a good bet. They're 9-3 against the spread this year, best in the NFL. Their defense is not only productive, it's great on third down. Giving Tua, who doesn't turn the ball over, it may be a safe offense, but the special teams in defense, it's got a New England feel to it. The Chiefs have also not won by more than 6 points in any of their last 4 games. This goes to a theory I've often had. Great offensive teams tend to lack urgency with a sense they can turn it on and off. Miami may not win. I'm taking the 7, though. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here. I mean, if you think about Miami, this is New England South, and think about how the Patriots' defense has done against Mahomes. It's been pretty good. It's been as good as any team. So to me, what we've seen is that Miami acts as a bellwether and a leading indicator oftentimes of how, and we saw it against the Chargers, how will the Pats ultimately do? Well, now it's going to be reversed. The Pats do well against the Chiefs. I expect the Dolphins at least schematically to do well. Tua, there's a lot of talk about how he's been not a bust, but underperforming. If you actually look at his QBR and then expected points, so it's some different metrics. He's right around the 20th best quarterback in the league, which isn't so bad. So he's trending up. You know what isn't trending up? The Kansas City defense. If you look in the last month, it's been horrendous. I mean, literally horrendous. The only concern I've got, last thought, is Let me ask you, Colin, does Mahomes look at this as a way to smack Tua down? Because this is a guy who's going to try to take his throne one day, perhaps. I would like this a lot better if it was Tannehill. Or I'm sorry, check that. If this was Fitzpatrick, because to me, there may be motivation because it's another young gun.
Yeah, although I did see Mahomes' quotes this week. And, you know, he really tends to be kind of a guy's guy. Like, I don't feel he's territorial. I think Aaron Rodgers can be territorial. Brady, we found on text during Deflategate, can be territorial. Mahomes is such a likable, one-of-the-guy kind of personality. I don't think he sees the world. I think he wants to play football, have fun, win games, and I think he roots for other guys. So I don't see that as sort of his DNA. But I think it's a legitimate question.
No, and I think it's a good answer, and that even makes me, and it makes sense, but either way, I would have liked the Dolphins here, agreement.
All right, this game concerns me. This is one of the ones I got stuck on. I'm going to take the Giants plus 2.5. First of all, I think they have a coaching edge. I'm concerned because they are coming off their biggest win of the season, and everybody loves them now. And I'm like, okay, now they're not as fun, because everybody's on the Giants. But here's what I think. Coaching edge, Kyler Murray, fewer than 40 rushing yards in three straight games. The Cardinals' defense has allowed over 30 in 3 of 4. Teams trend. I think the Giants are significantly better than their record. I think today the Cardinals are worse than theirs. I'm going to take the Giants plus 2.5. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement, but I have the same trepidations you do. And what I like to do is think of a post-COVID world. You walk in the bar and you say, who wants to bet the Giants? Everyone's like, yeah, they just beat Seattle.
Yeah.
And Arizona would be like, yeah, they're playing horribly. I'm always worried about that. I do.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think your instincts are right there. And I do feel like there's been an adjustment where this line last week was 3. And coming off of 3 is a key number, is the key number. So it has been adjusted in a way that isn't, I think, a fair adjustment. So I'm not worried about that. It's really a one-factor handicap to me, actually. And here's what it is. Is Kyler Murray 100% physically? If he is, I don't want any part of the Giants. But if he isn't, I do. And the thing about Murray, we all know running's important to him. He actually, if you look at DVOA and then QBR and say how much of his contribution is running the ball, he leads the NFL 34%. Of what he contributes to QBR, for example, is running the ball. And not only hasn't he had a lot of yards, he hasn't had more than 5 attempts in the last 3 weeks. He's not even willing to run. To me, that's why the fact that he could still be hobbled, I like the Giants.
All right. Steelers at the Bills. I want to take Buffalo -2. There's an interesting number. We know Pittsburgh can't run. Fewer than 100 rushing yards, 6 of the last 7 games. They don't even try now. It's an interesting stat. I looked it up this morning. When Big Ben has been asked in his career to throw over 35 times a game, the Steelers are slightly above 500. When he's been asked to throw under 35 times in the game, he wins 4 out of 5 games. When this team was getting to Super Bowls, they were not as Ben reliant. And so they win games off their organizational structure, but they don't beat good teams when they ask Ben to crank it up 38 times, 39 times. Now they're asking him to throw it 50 times a game. And Buffalo may not be a great defense, but they're situationally excellent. They're at home. I'll swallow the 2. I like the Bills.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with you quickly, and then I'm going to disagree in a big way on the Pittsburgh take. So the agreement here is simple. This is one of the worst spots for any NFL team this year, if not multiple years. You might say, well, finally, Pittsburgh's done with the Thursday game or the Wednesday game. Well, actually, no. It's another short week, and that has a compounding effect. And to me, this team hasn't had a bye effectively. Colin, there's never been a team this late in the year without a bye. So you could say, well, Tennessee week, but they practice that entire week. And a bye is about not even having to come into the facility.
Yeah.
So I think it's a real bad spot for Pittsburgh. So I agree with you. But I was listening this week, and boy, I disagree. First of all, you had Pittsburgh, what, 8th? Is that right? Oh, come on. I'd like to get those other seven teams that even pick them, the Steelers. I'd be loving that. But I'll say this, is if you actually look at what the Steelers are doing, and I think Tomlin gave it away in the press conference after the Washington game. He said, I don't care about how many times we run the ball. I care about the way that we're progressing through the defense. And I believe, and you said it, they're not even trying to run the ball. You know why? Because the O-line against the rush or for the rush is actually number 30 by Football Outsiders, but they're number one against the pass or when they're passing. And I believe that this is like New England a year or two ago when Brady effectively the short passes were the runs and Big Ben is getting the ball out the quickest, if you look at next gen stats, of any quarterback in the NFL. He's number one releasing the ball. He's not taking hits. So when you say you don't want Big Ben passing a lot, I believe that historically has been true. This is a different kind of offense. One last thing, you talked about that stat, how many times he passed. That's cause and effect, I believe. Whereas back in the day, it was a situation he would only throw that much when they were far behind, and thus they were going to lose a lot of those games. But now they're throwing that much every game. I don't think it's really as predictive. So I'm optimistic about Pittsburgh in general more than you, but I agree with you. It's such a bad spot, Buffalo.
Okay, more with RJ Bell talking about the wise guys and my Blazing Five right after this. This is actually weird territory for me, RJ Bell, because I think my favorite bet of the week is Cleveland plus 2.5 at the Ravens. So let's start with this. The Ravens have lost 4 of 6 games. If you go to the Ravens and Browns since week 7, Cleveland's a 5-1 football team with a plus 10 sack differential. The Ravens are a 2-4 team with a minus 6 sack differential. One team now, I believe Cleveland has the best offensive line and identity they've ever had. Baltimore, still, I don't think is comfortable throwing the ball. It's going to be a quick game. The number 1 and 2 rushing offenses. So turn in early. It'll be 3 hours and it'll be over. But I think this morning, Cleveland has more of a clear identity, is a better football team, and I'm going to take the points here.
I agree. And I have one real concern, but let's go over the good things. If you look at the trend line on DVOA, they actually, the Browns, are plus 5 slots recently compared to in the past, if you look at the whole season, and if it's weighted recently. And there's only one other team that's better than plus 2. So not only are they the hottest team, but they're the hottest team by far. So let's give credit to, it could be recency bias, but this team's just playing better.
Yeah.
Number 2, I believe that Dallas game was deceiving. It looks like that, Baltimore's back. Everything's fine. That defense is so undisciplined with Dallas that the Baltimore attack, which they're not familiar with out of conference, and remember, being familiar with what the Ravens are doing is vital. Well, Browns play them twice a year every year. So to me, Dallas, undisciplined Browns have they're familiar with it. Lamar, you talked about his passing. QBR number 22 in the NFL. This guy's not passing the ball particularly well. And if you look at the Ravens defense, literally in the last month, expected points, it's going to be hard to believe, number 28. The Ravens D, number 28 out of 32 teams.
Wow.
Here's the one thing that concerns me.
I would have never guessed that.
No, but if you actually look at the scores, and again, the way expected points is, it's not all about the scoreboard. It's really about each play being graded individually. But I'm telling you, the stats were eye-popping against the Ravens D. Here's my one concern. Baker Mayfield is great when he can set his feet and throw to his first read. So when is that? That's typically if he's not getting a lot of pressure and typically if the defense is not complex. Well, the Ravens actually have a very complex defense, and we saw in the first game, did he struggle? So that would be a big concern, except if you go back and look at Baker's prior games in prior years against the Ravens, he's actually done pretty well. So as much as I hate the stinker he laid opening week, I think in general he's been fine against the Ravens D. Thus, I got a big agreement here on the Browns.
So these are the 5 games I liked. There were other games I looked at, but I'm just going to throw this out because it's a learning experience. When we do this, I do my Blazing 5 picks. Often with the bonus, RJ, I put a game out there that I don't have as strong a feeling, but I want you to teach me something. So, because this is what you do for a living. So I would take the Chargers +2.5. It's a talented team that got absolutely humiliated. So it goes to a very predictable position I have a lot. It's why I like the Titans this week. Even though I don't love the number, I think they're a really good team. And I don't think the Jags are good enough offensively. I'm not worried about it. So I would take the Chargers being humiliated. But then here's why I don't bet this game. Because I watched Anthony Lynn after the game and I watched him this week. I thought he was weak after the game. I thought he was weak this week. And I think players can sense it's over for him. And I don't think they'll rally for him. I worry about that. So I do think humiliated teams, men, Trent Dilfer always told me, everybody in the NFL acts the same after a loss. How do you act after you win? That's my concern with Cleveland this week. But tell me how the odds makers and wise guys think about this with a coach that is lame duck in big trouble off a horrible loss, but clearly LA at home is a more talented team, and I would take the 2.5.
I disagree on, I wouldn't lean towards the Chargers. And to me, here's an adage with professional bettors in Vegas, and it's been over 20 years now in Vegas for me. So at least by osmosis, a minimum, is take the underdog, all things equal. Also take the team that looked the worst, all things equal. So that's why the flip side of the Giants, that concerns me because they look good and everyone knows it. But here's the caveat, because that would follow with your Chargers pick.
Yes, yes.
If a team is got motivational issues, nothing can trump that. Nothing can.
Okay, that is a huge caveat. That is the trump card NFL betting.
And if you think about it, when a team isn't there, I mean, think about the way the Cowboys played against Arizona on that Monday night. It was like they weren't in the game, their heads weren't, and they just got ran off the field. And that happens. It really does. I think the Bears are a team this week that I question even their defense at this point. So with Anthony Lynn, I think not only is he a lame duck, but these players feel like money's being taken out of their pocket. You know, you talk to many more NFL guys than me, but when you listen to them, it really is about the next contract, which it should be. It's their job. And I believe there's going to be resentment there. And not to mention the fact that if you look at it and think about in general, even before that demolition against the Patriots, is the Chargers haven't been playing as well. It's like the trend line's been going down a little
bit. Yeah, the last 2 weeks that they've not played well.
And last couple quick things here. One is, I think Moore still has a chance to get that job. So the motivation should be there with the Falcons.
That's really good. That's really it. You have a coach playing for his job and a coach that's lame duck. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, and last thing I'd say is I think Atlanta's looked bad because they've played the Saints twice in the last month. And to me, the stats and all are going to be skewed because of that. And again, the Saints are just really good.
Yeah. I've told you, everybody has a team. Atlanta's my Bermuda Triangle. My money disappears. Now the Rams, last night I would have taken New England on the points, but the Rams have probably been 6-2 or 6-3 this year. Is there, I always feel like there's a team every year, I kind of feel them, and a team I don't. I just can't bet Atlanta. Is there a team sometimes that you really feel strongly about knowing what they are and what they're not?
Yes. The thing, though, that is always the most frustrating is when you keep having to bet the same team that loses. Because the theory is when a team, and here's where most gamblers, sports bettors make a big mistake. If you bet a team and they lose against the spread, but you feel like you were right about the pick, you should be inclined even more so to bet them next week.
Right.
Because the theory is the market saw them lose. Everyone that lost is going to be less inclined, or most everyone, to bet them again. And that's why when there's a team on a 5-game ATS losing streak, it's not just everyone knows their own 5. It's people have lost money on them. And people don't like to lose money a second or even a third time. No way. And even a guy like Fezzik, a guy who's a professional, he's one of the top professionals, works for us, is he will not bet that team the third game. And I'm like, you're so square. If you like him better, he just psychologically can't do it. And thus, to me, it's one of those situations, the syndicates, the ones that bet $100,000 a game, they don't care. And it's funny, Atlanta, I would say in the last 3 years, Colin, Atlanta has been bet more by professional bettors, the syndicates, than any team in the NFL. And they had, because their stats have been better than their record pretty much every year. And you know what? They still haven't paid off, at least over the long term.
Yeah. Believe me, I know. RJ Bell, good stuff. Good learning experience for all of us in the Saturday podcast. Thanks, man.
Thank you.